Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 26 February, 2026, 3 John.
All right, before we get started, last call, not for alcohol. Last call to provide updates on those folks you have put on the prayer list. We will revise the master list in March and delete those who have not been updated. Thanks to those of you who have already sent in your updates. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 3 John. 3 John. And we begin with silent prayer. Now, most of you know why we start with silent prayer. It gives you the opportunity to make sure, first of all, that you're in fellowship with God. Because if you're not in fellowship with God, you're wasting your time. And if you came in and are out of fellowship with God because of something driving here, or after you got here, or whatever it was, then you rebound. 1 John 1:9. Acknowledge your sins to God. You're forgiven instantly, restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life, and now you're ready to roll and benefit from the teaching of the Word of God. So in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We realize, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, Heavenly Lord, that Jesus Christ controls history. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Update from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas February 25th report. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, February 25th, went very well. The ladies love to open with a song. So we sang, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, Donna does not hear very well. So she is always off key. That's the difference between your congregation. You hear very well, and you're off key too. So see, there you go. Donna has an excuse. Donna does not hear very well, so she is always off key and out of sync. But she loves the Lord, and she sings with joy, which makes it a treat to hear her every week. Pastor Olson taught our fifth lesson on the 23rd Psalm, continuing his introduction with background on the life of David. Pastor Olson taught from 1 Samuel chapter 17 to describe how God directed Samuel not to anoint the older brothers of David because they did not love the Lord Jesus Christ and they had no divine viewpoint in their heart. Rather, David was God's choice to be the next king of Israel because he did not fear the enemies of God, the Philistines, Goliath. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and his heart was full of divine viewpoint. To God be the glory as he blesses the ministry at Las Ventanas. Your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Third John. Correct. Third John, the first eight verses, we have Gaius, and Gaius is the best of the best, winner believer. Then the next three verses, 9 through 11, the worst of the worst, Diotrephes. He's a loser believer. And we're currently in verses 9 through 11 and studying Diotrephes, his arrogance, and he is totally influenced by evil. We have exegeted verses 9 and 10 and part of verse 11. So the corrected translation sounds like this. Verse 9. I have written something, a doctrinal letter to the church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, the congregation, does not accept our authority. He doesn't accept the Apostle John's authority or any sound doctrinal pastor, missionary, evangelist that comes through. Verse 10. For this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't, I will call attention to his deeds which he is doing. Specifically, slandering and maligning us with evil words. And because he's not satisfied with these things, that's the arrogance of unhappiness, neither does he himself welcome or recognize the spiritual authority of these brethren, fellow sound communicators, pastors, missionaries, and evangelists that come through. And if that isn't enough, he prevents and forbids believers in his own church who desire to do so. And then he excommunicates them. He throws them out of the church. Verse 11. Beloved, royal family of God, do not imitate, do not follow what is evil, the plan of Satan, but follow what is intrinsically good, the plan of God. Now, that's as far as we've gone with our exegesis, but at that point, it was very important to study a doctor that I've never studied and presented it before in this church, the doctrine of evil. So this is the first time, and we are part way through point two in the doctrine of evil. Point one was a definition. And definition, in the definition part, it says, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are either going to be influenced by evil, or you're going to be influenced by the absolute truth of the Word of God. Evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. Evil is the MO of Satan from the time of his fall, throughout the angelic revolution, and continues today as the ruler of planet Earth. Evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of this world. Evil is the function and the thinking of that person who is consistently living his life in Satan's cosmic system. Satan invented this cosmic system to rule planet Earth. It includes two parts, cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. Evil is also the downward trend of a nation. Evil results in the destruction of a nation, the malfunction of society, an attack on legitimate authority within a society. Evil is anti-legitimate authority. Evil is anti the laws of divine establishment. Just as grace and truth represent the genius and the policy of God in relationship to the human race, so evil represents the genius and policy of Satan in relationship to the human race. Now, there is a battle going on in your soul, in the soul of every one of us. The soul is the battleground of every believer. And the Bible declares, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There are two ways of thinking. Thinking the absolute truth, the aletheia of the Word of God, which glorifies Christ, or thinking evil, kakos, evil, which dishonors Christ. Recovery from sin is instantaneous through the use of rebound, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restore us immediately to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. And you get up and you move on. And we all sin. Every one of you here sinned. If there's anyone here that has not sinned, please stand up. Oh, okay. I'm standing up, but I've sinned. And none of you have any question about that, I know. But recovery from evil takes time through consistent and faithful learning and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Evil is a distortion of the absolute truth of the Word of God. Evil distorts the laws of divine establishment and distorts the law enforcement within the laws of divine establishment, marriage in the laws of divine establishment, family in the laws of divine establishment. They are all attacked as evil. And evil winds up supporting crime and the criminal. Evil is what you think as an apostate and a reversionistic believer. So the worst and most detrimental thing that can happen to a believer is to come under the influence of evil. Evil is every deviation and distortion of the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Now that's point one, definition. And then that brought us to point two, biblical documentation, and we're right in that point two. We have studied the first nine subpoints, but we have more to go. We studied subpoint one, the spiritually mature believer can distinguish between kalos, that which is honorable and virtuous and noble, from that which is kakos, that which is evil. And that is seen in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. And then we notice subpoint two, evil and degeneracy start with a thought. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. And then we noted a couple of principles. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart will insulate your soul from evil. It will motivate you to reject evil, not to be overcome by evil. And we know the principle, when you live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, divine power of the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this will protect your soul from thinking evil. And then subpoint three, virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the absolute truth, the aletheia of the Word of God. And we studied that in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 6 through 8. And then subpoint 4. The believer is warned to beware of those who practice evil. And that's Philippians 3, 2 and 3. And in that passage, Philippians 3, 2 and 3, Paul labels the legalistic Judaizers as, first of all, dogs, secondly, evil workers, and third, the false circumcision. They're called the false circumcision. They're unbelievers. They're following a false gospel. They're all impressed with the Mosaic law. And by the way, there's a series out there. If you haven't gotten it, you ought to get it. The Chosen. If you haven't got that series, you ought to get it. It's absolutely fantastic. And they really present the Judaizers, the Pharisees. They hate Jesus Christ. They're unbelievers. The religious people at the incarnation and virgin birth, the first advent of Christ, the religious leaders who thought they were experts, they thought they knew all about the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, and if anybody was going to be in heaven, they were going to be in heaven because they are following the works of the law. And it presented so magnificent and beautiful. The person who plays Jesus Christ, they nailed it. Nailed it. The Lord Jesus Christ, The Lord Jesus Christ, in our study on the Christmas special, we studied the celebrityship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those characteristics of his celebrityship is he is the eternal Father. And the eternal Father puts the spotlight on the compassion and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His compassion and grace on those who are sinners, who recognize that they need a Savior. You have to know that you're sick before you ever go to a doctor. You got to know you're a sinner before you seek a Savior. And the Pharisees don't think they're sinners. They think they're perfect. They're right. They're going to be in heaven. But the prostitutes and the tax collectors, and in that day, it's not any different than today. Tax collectors were scum in that day. And tax collectors are scum today too. Jesus Christ had dinners with the tax collectors and prostitutes. And it was very fun. But they were there because they knew He was the Messiah. He was going to pay the penalty for all of their sins on the cross. They knew they didn't earn it or deserve it. And they were overwhelmed by His grace to them, His compassion toward them. And He showed this phenomenal compassion and grace as the eternal Father. It is fantastic. And Jesus Christ is there having dinners, all these prostitutes and tax collectors there. Everybody's having a fun time. He's laughing and they're all enjoying it. Wonderful. And then some Pharisees come and look in and see what's going on. Oh, doesn't he know who, doesn't he understand what those women are? What, doesn't he understand that? Those are tax collectors. Horrible. And sinners, prostitutes. What's he doing? Eating with them and laughing and having a great time. And they're having a great time. I love it. It's a great series. The Chosen. If you haven't seen it, you ought to get it. Why? The very excellent presenting what we have in the God-breathed Scriptures. Absolutely right on top. Well, in Philippians 3, 2 and 3, Paul labels the legalistic Judaizers as dogs, as evil workers, and the false circumcision. They taught that circumcision was necessary for salvation, which is the false gospel. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Subpoint 5, believers are specifically warned not to be influenced by evil, but be influenced by the intrinsic good of the Word of God. And that's our verse, 3 John, verse 11. Subpoint 6, it is a dangerous temptation and evil for any believer to lust for money and be distracted away from the spiritual life. 1 Timothy 6, verses 10 through 12. Subpoint 7, being influenced by evil explains why prayers are not answered. Job 35, verses 9 to 13. Subpoint 8. Believers are often led into the cosmic system and evil by the people they choose to associate with. Oftentimes, this includes family members and being influenced by their communication of evil. We studied that in 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3. And then subpoint 9, God protects the spiritually mature believer from evil. He protects the believer who has Sophia, the Greek word, chokma, the Hebrew word, wisdom. And wisdom is the final stage of grace perspicacity. You start out with The spiritual gift of pastor, teacher, communicating the word of God categorically, eisegetically, exegetically. And then stage two, God the Holy Spirit takes that communication by the pastor, teacher, and teaches your human spirit, where it becomes spiritual phenomena and goes down into the nous, the mind, where you comprehend. You comprehend what the word of God says, but that's not the goal, just comprehending. Then the issue is, what are you going to do with this? Are you going to believe it or are you going to reject it? And I can't tell you how many people have come in here and I can just read, Pastor Olson, I comprehend what you're teaching, Pastor Olson. And Pastor Olson, I don't believe what you're teaching. Well, fine. You have a free will. You're free to believe. You're free to reject. You're free to assemble consistently and faithfully. You're free to stay home or do whatever you want to do. You can free to go to a hockey game. And I love hockey. And how about our American hockey team? I tell you, it was very refreshing. You just don't hear it in our nation, ever in our nation. But that hockey team, the men's hockey team, they said, we love America. It's the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We love America. We love the freedoms we have in America. They were all fantastic, supportive. And they won. When they won the gold medal, they were invited by President Trump to come to the White House. They loved going to the White House. They loved meeting President Trump. Boy, it was just so refreshing to see finally some Americans that love America. The liberals hate America. That characterizes almost the entire Democratic Party. They hate America. But here were some Americans that loved America. You know what? They came back. They went to the White House. They played their first hockey game. And the heroes, Jack Hughes, who scored the winning goal, won the gold medal. He played for the New Jersey Devils. Great name, Devils. New Jersey Devils. The place was packed and they gave him a standing ovation. The entire place stood up, gave him a standing ovation when he came out on the ice. And he, over and over and over again, he said, we love America. It's the greatest nation. We love it. And to a man, our hockey team, that was their thinking. Now, that was so refreshing. And took me back to the Miracle on Ice. 1980, Miracle on Ice. I was here. I was here when Adam was here, so I've been here a long time. Miracle on Ice. When a bunch of college kids, beat the Russians, who were professional all the way through. And I was driving up Charleston, and they were playing it on the radio, and all of a sudden, we score the goal to put us in the lead, and as I'm going up Charleston, every car that went by, honking their horn, honk, 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 waving, yeah, and I looked at my speedometer. I was going 80 miles an hour up Charleston, you know. That was a miracle on ice. Well, that was a different time, too, in our nation, 1980. So, sub point 8, Believers are often led into the cosmic system and evil by the people they choose to associate with. And oftentimes this includes family members and being influenced by their communication of evil. 1 Corinthians 15:33-34, 2 Thessalonians 3:2-3. And subpoint 9, God protects the spiritually mature believer from evil. He protects the believer who has wisdom, and wisdom is the target. You, stage 4 of grace perspicacity, you must believe the Word of God. And it's only when you believe it that it goes into your heart, the cardia. And once it's in your heart, now God, the Holy Spirit, can apply it skillfully and accurately to your life. That's wisdom. You don't have wisdom if you sit there and say, I don't believe that. You have no spiritual growth. You have no wisdom. You're never going to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ by that. But you are free. You're free to be a winner. You're free to be a loser. You're free to believe the Word of God. You're free to reject the Word of God. You're free to assemble in Upland Bible Church. You're free to stay home or go to a hockey game or go to whatever you want to go to. You might just want to go down and play slots. Subpoint 10. The laws of divine establishment are designed to protect the citizens of the nation from evil. The laws of divine establishment are designed to protect the citizens of a nation from evil. Law-abiding citizens from evil. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Now, we're about ready. We're almost into the great parenthesis in Romans on Sunday morning. The great parenthesis is Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. The great parenthesis. And then we'll be in 12 and 13, and we'll be studying this. Romans 13, verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear. Presidents. President Trump, not a cause of fear, for good, intrinsically good behavior, following the law, obeying the law, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Then do what is intrinsically good, what's right. Follow the law, obey the law, and you will have praise from the saint. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, then be afraid. For it does not bear the sword, capital punishment, for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. This passage teaches, first of all, it teaches evil criminals who commit capital crimes must be executed. Capital punishment. The person that assassinated Charlie Kirk, he's on trial in Utah. It's an open and closed case. But they're expecting that it'll be drug out for years and years and years. That's evil. That's evil. He should be executed. It should take a month, no more, and executed. So evil criminals who commit capital crimes must be executed, capital punishment. Secondly, capital punishment is designed by God to protect the law-abiding citizen from evil capital crimes. Capital punishment is designed by God to protect the law-abiding citizen from evil capital crimes. Third, by protecting against evil, the laws of divine establishment provide freedom and protection for evangelism and for the teaching of the Word of God. By protecting against evil, the laws of divine establishment provide freedom, freedom and protection for evangelism and for the teaching of the Word of God. Subpoint 11. Those who practice evil will come under the wrath and the judgment of God. Those who practice evil will come under the wrath and the judgment of God. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 14. No, I gave you the wrong. Those who practice evil will come under the wrath and judgment of God. Wrong place. How about Psalm? How about Psalm 34? Psalm 34. Psalm 34, starting at verse 14. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, that's the grace righteous, the spiritually mature believer, and his ears are attentive to their cry, their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Psalm 34, 14 to 16. And then turn over to Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, verse 11. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked, the reversionists, for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the proud, and will humble the pride of the ruthless. And then turn over to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, verse 14. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say He is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts, and perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Amos 5, 14 and 15. So, subpoint 11. Those who practice evil will come under the wrath and the judgment of God. Subpoint 12. Sins of the tongue are not only an abomination to the Lord, Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, but the sins of the tongue are a vicious evil. Now, turn over to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, beginning at verse 8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. That's virtue love brought to completion in your heart, impersonal love for all. Be sympathetic. Love the brethren, virtue love, impersonal love for all. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Sins of the tongue. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, the grace righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So sins of the tongue are a vicious evil. 1 Peter 3, 8 to 12. Now turn over to Psalm 34. We saw Psalm 34, verses 14 to 16, but now we're going to go to Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13. Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies, sins of the tongue. And then turn over to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Psalm 50, we'll start at verse 16. But to the wicked, the best way to translate that is to the reversionist. But to the reversionist, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction. They do not respect the authority of God, His word, or the communicator of it. You hate my instruction, anti-authority, and cast my word behind you. When you see a criminal, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. And this is an attack on the laws of divine establishment, and evil attacks the divine institution of marriage, and evil attacks the divine institution of the family. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother, fellow believer, and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. Consider this. You who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. Psalm 50:16-22. All right, that's point two. Documentation of evil. Now that brings us to point three. Point three is protection from evil. Protection from evil. Subpoint one, the spiritually mature believer is protected from evil. The winner believer is protected from evil. Why? Because he has chokmah, Sophia, in his heart. Wisdom, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Two, Satan wants you to drop your guard and go negative to the Word of God. But the winner believer's soul is encapsulated by the powerful Word of God. So Satan wants you to drop your guard and go negative to the Word of God. But the winner believer's soul is encapsulated by the powerful Word of God. Turn over to Psalm 21. Psalm 21. Now the human author of Psalm 21 is David. And David is a winner believer. Spiritually mature believer. Great believer. Verse 11. Though they plot evil against you and devise evil strategies, they cannot succeed. He's a winner believer. Turn over to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, 20 and 21. Proverbs 12, verse 20. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but happiness for those who promote reconciliation, peace, reconciliation. No evil befalls the grace righteous, the spiritually mature believer, but the evil reversionists have their fill of divine discipline. Proverbs 12, 20 to 21. Subpoint three. There is divine protection from evil for the spiritually mature believer. Divine protection from evil for the spiritually mature believer. Psalm 97. Psalm 97, verse 10. Let those who love the Lord, that's virtue love, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones, spiritually mature believers, and delivers them from the hand of the reversionist. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 verse 33. In this section we have the personification of wisdom. In verse 33, but whoever listens to me, wisdom, will live in safety and be at ease without fear of evil. Whoever listens to me, wisdom, will live in safety and be at ease without fear of evil. And then Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 10. For wisdom, chokma, the word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. For wisdom will enter your heart. Notice the target for wisdom is your heart, believing the teaching of the word of God. And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom, metabolized doctrine in your heart, will deliver you from the ways of evil men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are twisted and who are devious in their ways. Proverbs 2, 10 to 15. And then over at Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, 6. Through grace and truth, sin is atoned for. And through the fear of the Lord, category number two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, a man avoids evil. And then turn over to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 23. Proverbs 19, 23. The fear of the Lord, category two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, leads to life. And then one rests content, untouched by evil. So there is divine protection from evil for the spiritually mature believer. Subpoint four. The more metabolized doctrine you have in your heart, the more you will love the Lord, and the more you will hate evil. The more metabolized doctrine you have in your heart, the more you will love the Lord, and the more you will hate evil. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. First of all, a warning. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's pure arrogance. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Category 2, fear the Lord, occupation with Christ. And hate evil. Subpoint 5, the consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only insulation from evil. Because Bible doctrine in the heart, wisdom, Sophia, Kokma, combats evil. Now that brings us to point 4. Point 4 is the principles of evil. The principles of evil. Subpoint 1. Evil attacks the divine institution of marriage. The divine institution of marriage, it was invented by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a perfect divine institution. One man and one woman. Not one man and one man. Not one woman and one woman. Not one man and a goat. One man and one woman. Evil attacks the divine institution of marriage. One man and one woman. And I'll be real honest. I have hard time to watch TV and the commercials that come on. I can't. Most of the commercials have homosexuality and lesbianism in the commercial. And our children are watching these programs. It's pure, unadulterated evil. And I turned to Deb and I said, I feel like I'm living in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're becoming Sodom and Gomorrah in America. Absolutely pure, unadulterated, evil, evil, evil. Homosexuality is evil. Lesbianism is evil. Lot was overpowered and influenced by evil friends and an evil family. Subpoint 2. Evil not only attacks the divine institution of marriage, evil attacks the divine institution of the family. Evil also attacks the divine institution of the family. For many believers, blood is thicker than the absolute truth of the Word of God. And they are influenced by their evil family members, and they crash and burn. Subpoint 3. Evil rejects authority. Evil rejects authority. Turn to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Evil rejects authority. Psalm 50, starting in verse 17. You hate my instruction, anti-authority, and cast my words behind you. And when you see a criminal, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers, attacking the divine institution of marriage and the family. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will fear you, tear you to pieces with none to rescue. Now, rejection of authority in every area of life is evil. Rejection of authority in every area of life is evil. At school, rejection of the teacher's authority is evil. In athletics, rejection of the coach's authority is evil. At your place of employment, rejection of management's authority is evil. In the military, rejection of a superior officer's authority is evil. In the family, rejection of parents' authority is evil. In a local church, the rejection of the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, and the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God is evil. Rejection of authority in every area of life is evil. Evil rejects authority. Well, that's subpoint 3. And we will stop there. We're subpoint 3 and point 4. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of guiding us in our life, that we might honor you and glorify you to the maximum. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.